listening to the CCA Podcast.
We have, in the context of our body, people who have a real gift of ministry in the Word of God, who have a calling and a anointing on their life. And one of those people is John Fox. I've always enjoyed when John has spoken, and so he's speaking and concluding our series on detox by speaking this morning on the topic of detoxing a cluttered mind from Romans 12, 1 and 2. So John, really, really great to have you.
Well, thank you, Pastor Steve. It's great to be here. I've been here like 10 years now. I want to thank you, first of all, for the privilege to be able to share the Word of God. It's always a privilege to get up here and talk, and I take that as a very serious job, and it's so good to be here. I have been busy lately. I have been the last two of the 3 weeks I have been in Southern California, which is really rough duty when the weather's horrible here, and it's beautiful down there, and I've been having a great time, and so I'm back in the swing of things here back at home. Southern California changes you in some ways. I am an incredibly aggressive driver right now, so don't get in my way in the parking lot. I will cut you off in a heartbeat, because that's just how you got to drive down there, man. When you're in lane 10 and you got to get up to exit the next one, you get over, so you're coming. So watch out for me on there. I want to bring you greetings from the church in Southern California, which... What's interesting, the trips I've been on the last 2 weeks, I've done all Christian schools. So I've been in 20 Christian schools the last 2 weeks. And I wanted to let you know, the church in Southern California is alive and well. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we think, you know, they're way down there. And sometimes they get a bad rap, just like we do, because they're in a very secular world, and so are we. And people think, well, you know, everybody in Seattle, they're just a bunch of wackos, you know. Well, no, the church is here, and God is working in our lives and hearts, and he's here all the time. It's interesting when you see God do things in different places. I was, just to share a little bit about the church down there, the great things that's going on, I was in just a random weird thing. So I was doing schools one day, and I found myself downtown Los Angeles, and the LA Art Museum was free that day. And so I had finished, and I went inside there, and I got inside the LA Art Museum, and I like paintings. I think they're really cool. It amazes me what people can do. And there was an exhibit of the great, you know, Dutch masters. And so I went in there, and these paintings were all from the 1600s and 1700s. And one room had a room full of paintings depicting the life of Paul. And so you got in there, you got to see some of the things, you know, they paint what he was doing and Paul's ministry. And there was a guide there, which just fascinated me, because he was a guy about 30, and he was very well groomed. He had a bow tie on and a tweed coat. He looked like a museum guy. You know, I thought, this is a museum guy all the way through here. And I started to listen to him, though, and he was explaining some of the paintings. And he would be telling his people, this picture depicts when Paul came into town, and these people actually tried to worship him. And Paul, and he ripped his garments and said, no, don't worship me. You have to worship Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I'm like, this guy is preaching the gospel right here. You know, it was amazing. And he took him to another picture, and he's talking about how Paul talked about how we are in competition. He talked about athletics and things, and he said, you know, we as individuals compete against things, against the enemy of our soul, the devil, and sometimes we compete against sin, which enters our life. And I'm like, that was one of the greatest gospel presentations I've ever heard in the LA Art Museum. This guy had to have been a Christian. He had to have been. And I don't know if he worked for the museum or whatever, but right there, downtown LA was going on this great presentation. So God is moving all over the place, in many different places, and sometimes we forget about that, we don't see it. So I wanted to encourage you on that. Now, Pastor Steve asked me to speak today about detoxing the cluttered mind. How do we do that? What do we do? And I got to thinking, what does that look like? And so I have a couple pictures I want to show you. My mind, I don't know what you're like, but often my mind feels just like there are a million things going around in it all the time. And so I have a picture of a storm I wanted to show you. This is what I feel like sometimes is going on in my brain. You know, you're going through life and all this stuff is happening and stuff's just swirling through around there. So, but that's what my mind feels like. And I don't like it when my mind feels that way. It just feels kind of discombobulated and all this stuff's going on. What I'd like my mind to feel like, I have another picture I want to show you, is this. That's what I'd like my mind to feel like. And sometimes it does, but a lot of times it's the other way. So I want to talk to you about how do we unclutter our mind? How do we get from that messed up thing to maybe something that feels a little more peaceful and calm? That's the goal today. The text today you're going to find in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and I'm going to read that to you in just a moment. These verses that I'm going to read to you are interesting to me. It's the Apostle Paul who is writing to us. And in this particular verse, man, he just gets right up in our face. I mean, he just gets after us and says, this is what's going on. And he really challenges us to become better Christians. He's really getting after us, and I like that. And when Pastor Steve asked me to talk about that, getting my mind decluttered, I thought, when I think of detox, what does that sound like or feel like? And there's a lot of areas in our lives that we need to detox from sometimes. And it's always hard, okay? Let's put that out there first. It's not ever easy. If you're out of shape physically and you go to exercise to detox your mind, you're going to be sore. I mean, it just is the way it is. If you're a drug addict, man, that's one of the hardest things ever to detox from. It's a horrible experience. It takes tons and tons of work. If you're going to work on your mind being decluttered, it's going to take you some work. So I'm not just going to throw all these little things out to you. You're going to have to decide today if you want to grab hold of some of these things and do them, because it does take lots of work. And Paul is challenging us to do that. He's almost like a coach who is saying, here we go. This is what we can do. Now go do it. And so that's what I'm challenging you with today. So we as Americans, we like competition. So Paul's going to ask us to compete and do some things to help unclutter our mind today. Let me read the verses to you. Very simple. And I use the NIV version. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In this verse, you know, Paul speaks to us a lot of ways. A lot of times Paul asks us to follow him and do what he would do, but he's asking us to do some things that are going to take God's help. For you to transform your mind, a lot of times it will take the help of the Holy Spirit. It just will take God to help you, but God will. And he says that in these verses, that he will help us. And so we want to kind of change our mind and get things going. I have found in my life, it's January right now. And it's been raining, it's been windy, and I am not in good shape right now. I like to be in good shape. When the weather is good, I exercise a lot. I ride a bicycle. I enjoy that a lot. I'm also not in good shape because, man, the flu found me this year. I don't know how you've been doing, but right before New Year's, man, it found me with a vengeance, and that was not fun. Is it not interesting that the meal you eat before you get the flu you never want to see again is just like, oh, my goodness. I mean, it took me like 10 days to shake that thing. I did watch a lot of college football because I was in bed, you know, for like 3 or 4 days. I was just out. But my body needs to detox a little bit, and it needs to get in better shape. And I find in January and February especially that it's not in good shape. But good shape is coming because I'm going to get on my bike in a little while. When the weather clears a little bit, I'm going to get in shape. But as I start to do that, there'll be a little bit of a price because my body's not used to it. My muscles will be sore. It'll be detoxing, getting myself in shape. And so that's going to happen. So Paul asks us, and the first thing that we're going to talk about today, and this is point number one that you'll find, and we'll put it up on the screen for you, is that you need to sacrifice yourself if you're really interested in detoxing your cluttered mind. Paul is asking us to do something physical, something that is hard to do. When I get back on my bike the first few days, I'm really tired and sore, but it's worth it. It's hard. I have noticed something, though, and that I've noticed this is important, too. If you give your body to God as a sacrifice, which it asks us to do in this verse, it will keep you out of trouble. Did you ever think about that? If your body is where and doing what it should be, you will keep yourself out of trouble. That's a good thing. If your body, when I'm riding my bike, getting in shape, there's a lot of benefits to it. My heart gets stronger. My blood pressure is better. My weight is good. My muscles are stronger. And it is the same thing when you offer your body to God as a living sacrifice. When you do that and mean it, You will not find yourself in places where you shouldn't be. You will not allow your body to go there. You will physically keep yourself out of trouble. You will also put yourself into places that you should be, like church. And kudos to you for coming today, because you had to get up and had to get here. It's a great place for you to be, because you put your body here and you're going to hear things, hopefully, from God's word that will encourage you and help you to grow. If you put yourself where you're supposed to be physically, you'll pick up that Bible of yours sometimes, and you will read that Bible, and you will look into God's word, and he will change that cluttered mind that you have. I discovered something the other day. I don't know. You're probably way smarter than me and already figured this out, but I have the Bible app on my phone. And I just figured out that if I put it on the Bible, if I push play, this magnificent voice will read it to me. That's pretty cool. And I can get in the car and push play, and this man will read the Bible to me. And that's a good way to declutter my mind, to have some God's word go into it. So if you put your body in a place that it needs to be, other things are going to happen and do well. Not only will you pick up the Bible and read, your hands will help other people. Your body will do God's work. Your mouth will encourage other people. And sometimes your mouth will stay quiet and not say anything, because sometimes you know that that's better for you to do. It's great to follow God and do what he would do. I had something really funny happen to me the other day. I follow Facebook occasionally. I'm not on there all the time, but I do watch sometimes. And two people that I really respect, that I really like, who are just incredibly smarter than I am, were on Facebook the other day. The first one was Dr. Joseph Castleberry, the president of Northwest University. And apparently Dr. Castleberry had been watching football. And he made the big statement on his Facebook page. He said, I was watching football this weekend. Tom Brady is undoubtedly the greatest quarterback ever. He's phenomenal. Just da-da-da-da-da. And went on all the good. Great. This other man, who I highly respect, who's way smarter than me, Dr. Warren Bullock, who used to pastor this church. And I love Dr. Bullock. And if you know him, when Dr. Bullock speaks, you listen, because he doesn't waste words, and he doesn't just spout off about anything. He thinks things through very carefully, and he's just right on the button. But Dr. Bullock's response to Dr. Castleberry was, "Boo." I thought, that was a great line. I never thought he would do that, but he did. And so sometimes you need to know when to speak, and sometimes you need to know when to be quiet. But that was when I really, really enjoyed. I laughed out loud on my Facebook page there, because those two people talking football just in the first place just boggled my mind anyway. So, but you need to get your body in a place where you can do some things. Now, giving your body a physical detox this year is very important. Presenting your body as a sacrifice to God will take a lifetime of mastery, by the way. You're not going to get it right in the next month or whatever. It's going to take you your whole life. But presenting your body as a sacrifice will have some great things happen in your life. Ask your body to do some things. Make yourself get off the couch and visit family instead of doing, nothing. Make yourself pick up the Bible, like we've already said. Make your body go and meet the neighbors and talk to them. Be friendly. Make your body, put yourself in a small group, like Pastor Steve has shared some of the small groups going on. That's a great place for you to be. Put yourself in a prayer group, which would be an awesome thing to do. People that pray, I just want to make this statement to you, and there are a number of you that do, who are really great prayer people. You are underrated big time. Because if you're a prayer, you change the world. I mean, we have all these people all the time saying, we're going to change the world. We have politics. We're going to change it. You want to change the world? Pray. Because only God can change the world. And when you pray, God listens to you. And he loves you. And so if you want to do something great, that's a great thing to do. So be a prayer. Make your body take time to pray. That would be a really good thing that you can do. Your body also includes, though, your mind. And part of your body is your mind. And we want to get your body, your mind decluttered. And so my second point that I want to talk to you about today is this. If you want to transform your mind, which as the word says here, there is help to be transformed. Paul just doesn't say, just go out and figure it out on your own. There's help to help you transform your mind. And that comes from God and his Holy Spirit. I told you that I'm not in shape right now, but I will be as I get my bicycle out and start to ride. There's something cool about bicycling I want to share with you about help. And I have a picture. I'm going to put it up on the ground, on the thing here. This is the Tour de France. This is the Peloton. They call that the Peloton. And the Peloton is a group of big riders who ride together. And it's an amazing, amazing thing. I don't know if you've ever ridden a bike. I'm sure most of you have ridden a bike, but not in a group. But here's what's happened. Here's what happens if you're a bike rider. And I've had this happen in my life a couple times. If you're in a group of, say, 15, 20 people or more, you can actually have help in that group as your ride goes on. You can be in the middle of that. Those guys in the middle of the group right there, they're barely working at all. The aerodynamics is actually sucking them along. The guys in the front are doing all the work. They're breaking the wind, and they're going. And the guys in the middle and the back, you almost sometimes have to brake. You have to slow yourself down because that's just sucking you along. It's really a cool thing. Now, if you do that, you got to really trust the people in front of you. Really trust them, because if they stop or crash, you're going right over the top of them too. But it's such an amazing thing to be in that group as you're riding along, and you're just amazed at how easy it is to ride because the people in front are helping you and pulling you along and getting you going. And that's what transforming your mind entails. There is help for you to transform your mind. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that today. How do we declutter the mind? Now, first of all, there are a million things going on in our world all the time. There is so much stuff that enters your brain every single day, just because you live in a time that there is so much information out there. You know, it's really weird the time we live in. You have more information at your fingertips than we did. When I was a kid, you know, what was it? What was a cell phone? It wasn't a cell phone. You just, you know, it was this long cord and this thing that, you know, you just called from home your grandma. That's what you, there was no out there, you know. You just went outside and played and you came home when it got dark. I mean, it was a different world. And anything you want to know, it's interesting, you know, you're sitting around with your friends and you're talking, you know, someone asks a question. I don't know, let me find out. Siri, you know, and you have the answer right there. There's more, and so your mind does tend to get cluttered with lots of stuff. So there's so much going on. You know, there's politics out there. And we won't even go down that rabbit trail, but there's so many things. And politics is a thing, you know, I want this, I'll give you this, but you got to give me that. There's this whole dance of stuff going on, and I get really tired of that sometimes. I know some of you are historians, and you can, well, I can't watch those shows. I'll just burn my TV set up. I can't watch political shows. I just go crazy. That's my personality. But politics are in your mind all the time. The media is in your mind constantly. It's always there. Television, radio, the internet. There's so much stuff on there. And we see all these things going on. Man, we have all these men that are in so much trouble because they're idiots. You know, it's just like, I'll fix the world for you right now. If you can't say it to your mother, your wife, your sister, your daughter, don't say it. There you go. Life is fixed right there. Shut your mouth, man. Just like, be careful. And there's some people that just really have some problems. But that gets into our mind, and we think about that. So that's bouncing around in there. Yourself, you know what's going on in your mind all the time. You have situations and things you're dealing with and problems. So that's inside there. You know, your sports team, how are they doing? What's going on? Who's in the Super Bowl? We think that all the time. You know, it's interesting to me, too. I'll just throw this out to you. It is fascinating to me as human beings that we demand perfection from our sports teams, but not from ourselves. You know, that guy missed a kick. He missed one kick, but I would never demand that of me. But we can just rip all over the Seahawks because it's interesting. Don't put that kind of pressure on people. So that's bouncing around in your brain. The economy, how are we doing? What's going on? That's in there too. Expectations that people have of you or you have of them. You know, we just came out of the holiday season, and it happened again. It happens every year. It boggles my mind that Mercedes runs all these commercials about getting a car for Christmas. I've never got a Mercedes for Christmas, ever. You know, I've gotten a sweater, you know, but I don't think I'm ever going to get a Mercedes, you know. And so somebody must, obviously, because they keep running the commercial, but I don't need a Mercedes, by the way. It's okay. But expectations, you know, what? Sometimes you're expecting the Mercedes and you get the sweater. Expectations, what do you need? And you need to kind of declutter that mind. And hopefully what this sermon does today, and what sermons always do, you're never going to remember the whole sermon, okay? But hopefully you grasp onto something that God puts in your brain and you remember it and you hang on to it and you take that with you and you live through that. You know, a couple months ago, Pastor Scott spoke, and I had an epiphany in his sermon. And it was something really simple he said, but I've been hanging on to this thing for the last couple months. And he was talking about expectations And he just made this really simple statement. He said, expect Jesus to help you. We have all these expectations of people and they let us down, but he said, expect Jesus to help you because he said he would. And that just was like, man, that just hit me so hard. And I've been living on that the last couple months, you know. God will help me because he said he would. God loves the sound of my voice and your voice too because he loves you. So I've been hanging on to that. So declutter your mind. Grab a hold of something today that'll help you to hang on. And how do you do this? How do you detox your mind? How can it be transformed? Well, first of all, you follow Jesus. You read God's word. You put yourself in church in a place where you can hear about him. You pray because that works, obviously. But there are other people, too, that are going to help you to detox your mind, to get things where they should be, because they're following God, and they don't even realize sometimes that they do that. For example, Pastor Scott, when he shared that in his sermon, that made a huge difference in my life. And I knew that, but I just needed to be reminded it. There are people you're going to see at church that are going to help you grow, maybe in your small group or wherever you are, because they're going to be like Jesus, and they're going to pull you along. They're going to be that peloton of bike riders that suck you along and help you to grow. You know, my wife is going through something right now. Her mother is dying. She has cancer, and it's not fun. It's a bad thing. And my wife's mother is a difficult person. I'll just say that. My wife growing up did all the housework, all the laundry, all the cooking, all that stuff. My mother-in-law made her do that, and she was a difficult person. And I've watched my wife's and my mother-in-law's relationship for many years now, and I've watched my wife make it work. And my wife right now visits her every Sunday and every Wednesday in the nursing home because she's dying. And I said to her the other day, I said, you know, you don't have to do that. I mean, your mother wasn't very nice to you. You don't have to do that. And she came back with, yeah, but that's what Jesus would do. And man, you talk about shut you down. You know, how are you going to respond to that? You know, it's just like, oh, okay, yeah. I feel stupid. But here's the thing that she did. She didn't say, you know, you need to change. She didn't say, you know, well, you should come too. She kind of pulled me along and made me look and say, I need to be more like Jesus because that's what she's doing. And so people can suck you along and pull you along and make you more like him. So that's why it's so important to be involved in a group of people, a body, a church, because God helps us to grow, and that's what he wants us to do. And that's why we come to church, because different people have different strengths in different areas, and they're going to help you. They're going to pull you along as you go. Well, get to point number three, and we're almost done here today. Number three, if you do all these things in Romans 1 and 2, it says that God is going to give you direction. He's going to give you direction. He's going to help you to declutter your mind, to detox it. How's that going to happen? Well, what is God's will for your life? It's one of the things is to detox your mind, is to get everything straight and to have that peace with him inside your mind. We all want the answer to that question. We all want to know how to do it. And Paul's kind of give us some examples here. We can say the obvious ones, go to church, pray, read the word of God. But there are other things that you can do too, because you're a very creative person. There's some ways you can figure out how to grow closer to God that he's going to speak into your life. Maybe it's using that play button on the Bible app and just listening to some of the word of God. Maybe it's talking to somebody. Maybe it's going to somebody and say, hey, would you help me grow in the Lord? Would you mentor me? God has some ideas for you that he's going to give you. Now, it's important that you take those tools and do something with them. I brought with me, I told you I've been gone the last couple of weeks. I brought with me in my little baggie here two of the most important, incredible tools in my life. They are so important. Because when I get on an airplane, all kinds of different stuff's going on. You never know who you're going to sit next to. You never know. You never know what's going to get on that plane. It could be that little kid who's going to scream his lungs out the entire plane. And you're just like, oh, Lord, not me, please. And I get that because I have kids, okay? I understand. I don't lose it because of that, but it's just like it is very inconvenient. It can be that wonderful group of middle school students that are going on a field trip to Washington, D.C. in your plane. You're saying, oh, please, God, don't let them be getting on my plane. You know, it's like, and as they get on the plane, they're drinking Coca-Colas and eating candy, and you're like, this is going to be bad. It can be that person that has their dog and they call it a service dog, but they're lying. There's nothing wrong with them. That just infuriates me. I just get so mad at that. It's like, get a life, meet people, get rid of your dog. You know, it's just, I'm sorry if you're a pet owner. It just really bothers me, all right? You never know who's gonna get on that airplane. You just don't know. And so in my wonderful little baggie here, I have two things that are super important. First of all, and I have multiple of these in here, these are earplugs. And they rock, okay? Because you can put them in your ears and things go away. And what's really great, as soon as that captain fires that motor up, between these and that hum of the motor, man, put that screaming kid next to me, I'm okay, that's fine, there's no problem. So these are really important tools in my life. The other one, this is a really cool thing too. You need one of these if you ever fly. It's my incredibly cool blackout face mask, okay? So there it goes right there. So, I put that thing on. And I know some of you can't sleep on a plane. Man, I can go down for the count in a heartbeat, okay? I put those things on, and I put this thing on, and I just go away into la-la land. Everything is quiet, and the world is ordered, and I don't have to deal with your crazy dog and your crying kid. I don't have to deal with any of that. So these tools are super, super important to me. I love those things. If I ever lose them, I'll buy more because they're important. So here's the thing today. What are you going to do to declutter your mind? We've thrown out some ideas to you. But the decision's going to be yours. You need to, if you want to change, you have to act, okay? You can hear this sermon and go, that's really nice. But and some of you out there are in a good place, okay? Your walk really is strong with God right now. But some of you are thinking, man, there's a few things I could tweak and change. And if that's the case, then you have to do something to do that. And so my challenge to you is, we've thrown some things out, but find something in your life that God's going to put in your heart that you can do to declutter your mind. Maybe it is spend more time in prayer. I lack in that big time. I know that, and I need to change that. And I commend all of you that are prayer warriors. Thank you for doing that. Maybe it's meeting with somebody, but whatever it is, grab a hold of that tool and make it really important and go with that, because God has something he wants to do in you, inside of your mind, and inside of your life. Let's get our minds away from that giant storm that's raging all the time. Let's find a place of peace where you and I and God can just be restful and know that he's in control and he's taking care of us. So my challenge to you today is this. Find that thing. Find those things to declutter your mind. Put them into action. It's the new year. It's January. Let's change the things that we need to change. Let's make ourselves grow closer to the Lord. It's going to take work. It's going to be hard, but it will be worth it, because the end result is a much better place for you to be with the Lord. So that's my sermon to you today. Can we have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Steve. Just bow your heads with me. Lord, thank you today that we can come and talk about you. Thank you that Paul writes to us and tells us that we can declutter the mind. We can get to a place where we're in rest with you and closer to you. Lord, there's all kinds of examples in the Bible of the storm raging, but everybody being safe and secure because they're with God, or Jesus was with them. So, Lord, once again, we just want to detox our mind. We want to say, Lord, take my mind. Help me to get out the things that need to go and put in the things that need to be. Lord, in the world that I live in, this fast-paced, internet-driven, cell phone, computer, help me to stop and slow down and follow you. Help me to talk to people face to face. Help me to be what you would want me to be to them. Lord, thank you today that we can come and that we can worship you. And I pray that as people walk out, you would just touch their mind and say, hey, this is something you could do. This is something you could do to make me more a part of your life, make God more a part of your life. Lord, thank you for being with us today. We worship you. We honor you. In Jesus' name.